Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. Greetings from the beautiful Missouri Ozarks, and welcome to the Old Testament study from the Gilbert House Fellowship. This is for Sunday, October 2nd, 2016. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we are so glad you've chosen to join us again this morning. Actually, it's afternoon here now. And depending on where you are in the world, it could be evening. Don't know.
That's right.
But today, however, is the beginning of the new year in the Jewish calendar. It's now 5777.
Right. Yeah, and that's interesting because a number of... I would call them prophecies, but maybe predictions is better, had come out over the past year or so, predicting something in the Jewish calendar year, 5776. Mm-hmm. And some of them were embedded in the Torah codes. Others were prophecies that rabbis were interpreting from mystical texts from Kabbalists over the centuries. Mm-hmm. And so we've made it through 5776 without Messiah's return or arrival in the Jewish context,
but he will come back.
Right.
He's coming back for his people. He's coming back to end the world as we know it, to set up his millennial reign. And I believe it could be any time. Many of us who take a look at prophetic scriptures believe that it's very possible that when Christ does return, it will be on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
However, it doesn't have to be.
That's correct. Yeah.
So he'll come when he comes.
There are others who believe it'll be Feast of Trumpets and others who have different ideas. But
Isn't Feast of Trumpets and Rosh Hashanah pretty much the same
thing? Well, you're probably right. And I probably just made a fool of myself and showed how little I understand about the Feast of the Lord. But a Feast of Tabernacles is what I was thinking.
Feast
of Tabernacles.
Yes, there are many people who do think that. So, yeah.
Yeah, not trumpets, tabernacles. So I misspoke. That's all covered.
No, I figured. I knew you knew better than that.
I totally knew what I was saying.
Yes, Rosh Hashanah is in day of shouting and blasting, sometimes called the Feast of Trumpets.
Right, right.
And it's because lots and lots of trumpets are blown on that day. And it's one of those, it's one reason that many Bible scholars believe that it could be that Christ will return on that day is because that's a day that you don't know the day or the hour because it has to be the call of two witnesses as exactly when the first sliver of the new moon begins.
Yeah.
Is cited. So it's over 2 days.
Yeah. And there are scriptures that say with the a voice like the shout, a shout like the sound of a trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And,
yeah.
And anyway, we won't get into all that, but happy 5777.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. I mean, it's clearly there's a sense. I mean, the big takeaway, and you made a really good point that just because the predictions and the prophecies that have been put out there, they have not come to pass, indicating that those who spoke them were not true prophets in the biblical sense. There is a sense overall that time is growing short, and it seems to be a sense growing among Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox rabbis, but also among God's people. And you'll hear us make reference to that in the New Testament study for this week as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul was telling the church then in Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
We live at the end of the age.
Yes, exactly.
And that was 2,000 years ago.
Exactly. The mystery of the church, it's a parenthetic time period between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. So I believe Paul was looking at that prophecy of Daniel's and believing that it was any minute.
Right.
Because that 70 weeks, we just finished week 69.
Mm-hmm.
So 70's got to start any minute now.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it shows how patient God is with the world.
Right. And I think the sense that we should have is the one that Paul was encouraging in the church at Corinth, was that we should behave as though the world is near an end and that we are nearing the end of the time that we have to work and to bring in the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was among his, I think the lessons from this morning on his commands to husbands, that they should not view their wives as their only priority, but they should be, you know, focused outward as well because time is growing short. And
if there's a way that you, and if there's a way that you can serve with your spouse, that is the most rewarding thing you can do as a couple.
That is a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is
Amen.
A fact. Well, today we're back into the book of Proverbs and we will go through At least, well, we'll go through, you know, Proverbs 7 through 12 and hopefully draw some wisdom from this as well. And we'll, to that end, we will ask the Lord to grant us wisdom as we pray.
By the way, being the first Sunday of the month, we will be observing the communion later on. So you can either hit pause now and go gather the elements, or you can wait until Derek gives you the go ahead later
the,
on.
The cue, yes.
Yeah, the cue.
So, yeah, that's one of the nice things about doing this in a time shifted fashion. Mm-hmm. You can pause and then rewind if you need to.
Yep.
We'll get to that right after this. Father, we thank you for drawing us together, regardless of whenever or wherever we are through this electronic medium. Lord, we pray that as we read your word, that you will open our minds and our hearts to the words, that we would understand what your Holy Spirit led the writer of these bits of wisdom to record, and why you laid it on the hearts of those scribes and scholars and rabbis and teachers and monks and so forth to preserve these words through the centuries and include them in the canon of Holy Scripture. Lord, we pray that you would grant us wisdom, that we would be made wiser through your Spirit, but also through the reading of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 7, another warning about adultery, which, as we talked last week, is a another way of saying, hey, don't go chasing after foreign
exactly.
gods.
Sexual sin, and often that is part of paganism.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big no-no.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is something that is a feature of many of the pagan religions throughout history. It was certainly practiced by the Canaanites and all of the other ites that occupied the Holy Land at the mm-hmm. time of the conquest. But it also was something that, as we discussed the introduction to 1 Corinthians, that was going on in the city of Corinth, which was the center of a temple for Aphrodite,
mm-hmm.
who was nothing more than the Greek version of the Babylonian Ishtar, who goes all the way back to Sumer with Inanna. That mm-hmm. goddess has been with us the whole time, and I would argue that she's exerting a lot of influence on mm-hmm. modern-day America.
Yep, that's the Whore of Babylon, as far as
yes.
I'm concerned.
Gender bending and, sex for everybody, and, then killing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what Ishtar, Inanna, Venus, Aphrodite is all about. Proverbs 7, beginning at verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Now again, here's another anthropomorphic depiction of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
casting wisdom as an entity, as a female. It is a form of speech. This is not to say that Sophia, Sophia was an actual goddess. Wisdom was an actual goddess that Yahweh, was like the consort of Yahweh or something. There are some who will make that claim, but that's not so. For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice. I have seen, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness.
This is to the strange woman.
Right. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart, or literally guarded in heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. Interesting, the Hebrew on that, as a stag is caught fast,
As an anklet for the discipline of a fool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, caught in a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are
a mighty... Wait, you left out a line.
Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. Okay. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death.
Chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Interesting that it's got at the crossroads, because that's the place where Hecate
mm-hmm. yeah.
will find you. On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly." And what's the alternative for that justly? It's govern the earth. Verse 17, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work."
The alternate rendering, fathered or created me.
"At the beginning of his way." Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah, his work. Interesting. "The first of his acts was of old." Excuse me. "Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding in with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep." When he drew a circle on the face of the deep.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Now, I have to go back here and see exactly what that is, because that when he inscribed, don't know quite how
The visible horizon. As you stand on a flat place and you see the horizon, as you turn in a circle, it appears to be a circle.
Also called the vault of the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Or a sphere.
Yeah. Of course, there are some who would take that to mean that we're living underneath a dome on a flat plate, but that's
But that's not what that means.
That's not what that means. And it may have been the understanding of the ancient Hebrews as far as their cosmology, mm-hmm. but You know, at 400 BC, the Greeks discovered the earth was round and were able to use mathematics to prove it. So.
Yes. Verse 27 again. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. Again, workman.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia, often, you know, wisdom is personified as a woman.
Yeah.
But in here, like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Again, this is not a co-regent.
No.
This is not the second power in heaven.
It is not. This may be.
This is an attribute of God.
Yes, an attribute of God. I suppose you could make a case that it is another one of the Elohim that was serving God's purposes.
Possibly.
Because there are other acts, verses in the Bible that depict that. For example, Habakkuk 3, where it says God strode forth from Teman, which is a mountain in Edom, basically Mount Paran or Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and pestilence and famine accompanied him. Mm-hmm. Those are the names of deities. So,
yes.
You know, in the Canaanite pantheon.
It's
so
just like death is a deity.
Right.
Well, it's a creation by God.
Mm-hmm. So wisdom, I suppose you could make a case that it is one of the faithful Elohim, a member of the divine council.
Possibly. And that would be a ding, 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 ding.
Yes.
My Kaiser question.
Which, interestingly enough, in the Faith Life Study Bible, the little chapter titled Personified Wisdom in the Old Testament is written by Mike Kaiser. Yeah.
Then I was beside him, verse 30, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Again, this is an unfallen, if anything, it's an entity. If it is an entity, this is an unfallen.
Exactly, man. Right.
And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Wonder why it's put that way. For whoever... You dropping stuff over there, honey?
Yeah, my briefcase.
Aw, poor little thing. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. So is this the opposite of death, perhaps? I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So again, it could just be a literary device, or it could be that we're dealing with a possibly one of only two examples that I can think of in Scripture where a supernatural being is depicted as feminine.
Mm-hmm.
The other being the evil ones, the women like storks that carry that basket to Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that Zephaniah or Zechariah? I forget.
Zephaniah, I think.
Yeah. Well, anyway, and we continue with wisdom in Proverbs 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars, seven being the number of perfection and completeness. Mm-hmm. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. That would be for me. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you.
Now, how many of us have encountered this? You run into this all over the place online now. Reproving a wicked man or correcting a scoffer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've had to counsel me in that a number of times as I was compelled to engage in online debate with people who were scoffers. I won't say wicked, but at least scoffers. And it is a waste of time. It is the enemy tying you up in a pointless exercise. instead of doing something productive. Mm-hmm. And so I finally got to the point where I realize that with some folks, there's just no arguing. If somebody, somebody will say something and it's not because they want to engage and perhaps be persuaded. They just want to tie you up like a, like an energy vampire.
It's like Monty Python. I came in for an argument.
Oh, this is abuse. Yeah. But a wise man, someone who can take correction and direction and learn from it. And this is something that we should all aspire to, you know, taking correction in the spirit in which it's given by people who care about how, about our well-being. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've heard this twice now in the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me...
Now, when it says Holy One, is this Christ? Is this the second power in heaven?
Well, I don't
because
know.
Because there's another scripture we get, because his Holy One will not see corruption.
Yeah, and we see in the New Testament that Jesus, we know who you are. Jesus of Nazareth, you're the Holy One of God.
Yes.
Yeah, Holy One of Yahweh. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's possible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. So now here's the...
Wisdom and folly, both women.
Yeah, depicted as something personified. Mm-hmm. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. And seductive could also read in the Hebrew, full of simpleness. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there. Oh, the Rephaim.
Indeed.
Yes. But he does not know that the Rephaim, the dead, are there, and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Now, the Rephaim are a really interesting study. We'll have to do that sometime because they were often translated as the dead. But in the cultures around the ancient Israelites, they were often depicted as the honored dead ancestral kings of old. So it's no wonder that they're depicted in a negative light in the Jewish scriptures.
True. And now to Proverbs.
Or Hebrew scriptures. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Proverbs 10, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. I think we can all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Now, there may be some who take umbrage with verse 3, does not let the righteous go hungry. This does not mean that every person in the world who calls Christ Savior will always have a full belly. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that he or she will always have food in the pantry. You will not go hungry because you are fed by the true bread, Jesus Christ. You will feast upon that.
Right.
But he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty. And of course, these lines also have to do with just, look, if you want to eat, go out and work.
Exactly.
A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Mm. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot.
Mm.
The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin.
Mm-hmm. And by receive, they mean obey.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble.
Hmm.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah, exactly.
And a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And of course, later on, James tells us that the tongue itself is the hardest member to control right. in your body. But if you can learn to control your tongue, then the whole body follows. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense.
Ouch.
Yep. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to, you know, interesting that the strong city is a rich man who accumulates wealth somehow probably does believe that that will protect him from anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rich. I don't have to worry.
Yeah.
But there is something about having something for a rainy day.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I will place my dependence upon Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to life. The gain of the wicked to sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Now, bear in mind that a lot of people who are slandering others think themselves quite wise.
Yeah, and think that they're righteous in doing so because, mm-hmm. you know, God is on my side, and so I can post whatever I want. Yeah.
When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Yeah, often the more words there are, the more you have to wonder, okay, did you? It's sort of like a 5,000-page or 20,000-page law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awful lot of words in there.
Oh, we have to pass it to find out what's in it. Yeah.
The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Again, feed, as in we're getting in this, the nourishment here is, you know, good
spiritual.
Good teaching. Yeah, it's spiritual. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, what's the alternative there? Because that's an interesting line.
And toil adds nothing to it.
Hmm.
Which means there's nothing you can do to add to this blessing.
Exactly.
You cannot earn it through the work of your hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doing wrong is like a joke to the fool.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're an awful lot. There's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, we were talking earlier today about that crazy trend sweeping the country of people dressing up like clowns, ominous, creepy-looking clowns,
yes.
just to scare other people. And sadly, in Fort Wayne,
Indiana, someone has lost his life because he was on the street dressed as a clown.
Yeah, somebody pulled up and shot him. Now, mm-hmm. we don't know what the cause of it was, but I had speculated. In fact, I posted something to Facebook the other day and said, look, you know, this trend is dangerous.
It will get you killed. And it's not saying that it's correct
absolutely.
To harm someone.
No, uh-uh.
But the truth is that when you're going out there and the word is getting about that these creepy clowns are dangerous. In fact, a local town is not far from us is reporting having seen them
yep.
with machetes.
Yeah, and there are places where schools have been closed because of sightings. There have been reports that some of the people dressed as clowns are trying to lure children mm-hmm. into the woods. This could just be a meme that's gone viral that you get bored teenagers with nothing better to do thinking, hey, this would be cool. Let's dress up and we'll scare some people.
Yeah,
there was a report from Green Bay, and the one in Green Bay was a viral marketing campaign for a mm-hmm. short film that was coming out for Halloween, but still – if you do something like this and you deliberately intend to frighten or threaten or menace somebody, you are risking the chance that they will interpret – they won't take it as a joke. They'll interpret it as a sincere, serious threat to themselves or their families.
Yeah.
And in parts of the country like, well, the Ozarks, where a lot of folks are armed, it could result in tragedy.
Exactly.
That's what happened in Fort Wayne.
Exactly. And, you know,
it's not a joke.
I'm sorry that young person died, but I assume it was a young person. But look, use some sense.
Yeah. doing wrong is not a joke.
Verse 23, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool,
right.
But wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the rich of the righteous will be granted. What the wicked dreads will come upon, you know, it's like, okay, I don't, you know, I want to live my life the way I want to, want to make my choices. I really don't want to have to, I don't want to go to hell unless it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, there's this crazy idea in some films, and
yeah.
often see it in macho kind of films where, hey, I'll see you in hell.
Yeah.
I don't think you will. I think hell's probably going to be really bad and you're not going to be visiting.
Exactly. I think part of this too is that what the wicked dreads, because there are people who think about what they can do to others and what they can try to get away with, that they fear that others are trying to do that to them, because there are things out there that you know would never even cross our minds to do.
That's true.
To other people, and yet
because we're old,
I suppose. Yeah, but it never occurs to us then to be concerned about someone else trying to do that to us, just because the thought is so far, so foreign to us that it just doesn't make any. You know, it just never even enters our consciousness. It's like when I was reading through the book of Leviticus with Nicole when she was little.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to some of those parts where God's telling the Israelites, don't do this and don't do that. And she's going, ew.
Who would do that?
Yeah. Well, God wasn't making things up that people weren't already doing. He was having to tell them, don't do these things because the people who live in the land are already doing mm-hmm. them. So, yeah.
Verse 24 again, what the wicked dreads will come upon him. And in fact, the word can mean terror.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're terrified of.
Mm-hmm.
But the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Boy, it's like the tempest is going to come through and just erase. And this is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a day coming
yes,
when there is a great storm that's going to hit this world
mm-hmm.
and it's going to erase the wicked. I do not want that. I would, and I know that the Lord wants every person to come to repentance.
Right.
And to have Christ as Savior. Verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him.
Vinegar to the, apple cider vinegar. Yeah, uncut.
I can't deal with that. I just can't. Ugh.
Hmm.
The fear of the Lord prolongs life. But the years of the wicked will be short. And, you know, if you've seen wicked people live a long, long time, look, the years of the wicked, I believe this is also prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
You only get so long to do this world, and then it's over. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse. That's all they know.
Hmm.
Perversity.
Proverbs chapter 11. Instruction for merchants and commerce here. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cheat people.
Yeah.
Yeah. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. Yes, pride goeth before a fall. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death.
Another prophetic one.
Yeah. Day of wrath, day of Lord. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust.
Bye, Sam.
I'm here. Yeah. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too.
You have money put away,
yeah.
Stock market. Sorry, you're not going to make anything.
Yeah, and there are other translations too that render that word wealth as strength or iniquity. The expectation of strength or the expectation of iniquity perishes too. Right? Yeah. But regardless of what you're pinning your hopes to, when you draw your last breath, that's all over.
Mm-hmm. You're now hopeless.
Yeah. Without faith in Christ. Yeah. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Another way of saying that, if you can't say anything nice, don't say nothing at all. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. But on the other hand, too many cooks spoil the broth. Oh, which proverb trumps that one? Verse 15, whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. But he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. Well, yeah, and we saw earlier another verse in Proverbs 6 last week about putting up security for a stranger or for a neighbor.
Yeah.
And if you're struck, you know, go to the guy who's holding the note and see if you can cut a deal.
Mm-hmm.
A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches.
Violent men get, well, that's true. Oftentimes violent men do get riches, but that's a strange parallel.
Yeah. And, you know, the Proverbs, that might seem counterintuitive based on what we've been reading, but it certainly doesn't, the Proverbs don't deny that wicked men obtain wealth. But if you put that in context of what we just read previously about when a wicked dies, his hope will perish because he's putting his hope in his wealth. So, you know, the wicked men or violent men may get wealth now, but it's not going to help him one whit when he draws his final breath.
It's also translated as ruthless men attain riches.
Yeah.
And that's true. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they do, but sorry, but that's it. You got what you wanted here. Guess what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because verses, if you take them out of context about, you know, the righteous man accrues wealth. Well, you know, we know a lot of righteous people who are struggling to get by.
Yeah.
And that's been true all throughout history. I mean, that is just demonstrably not true in the physical sense. But
the bank account is elsewhere when you're a righteous man.
Exactly right. That's the point. It's like the old, and I don't think Leo Durocher said this, but it's attributed to him. Nice guys finish last. But I saw somebody else reply to that and say, well, no, nice guys don't finish last. They're running in a different race.
Amen.
Yeah. Verse 17, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. And again, we're talking about eternally here. In fact, the verse earlier that said the days of the wicked man will be cut short, it will be, because there is a second death coming for those who are sent off after the final judgment. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Oh, that's a good one. And that's even more meaningful when you understand that, you know, swine were considered unclean.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Proverbs 11:22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. The expectation of the wicked in wrath. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Let me back up a verse here. Verse 24, the one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. I know that there are verses where if you cherry pick a verse like that, you could use that to justify the prosperity gospel. But that's proof texting.
Yes, it is.
And I'm just pointing it out only to say you have to read all of these verses in context. You can't just pick one verse and say, ah, and build a whole doctrine on it. And that is because that's the fastest way to create a new cult.
But if you make the assumption that grows all the richer has to do with earthly treasure
right.
only, then you're missing the point.
Exactly. And you only get that point by reading that verse mm-hmm. in context with the rest of the scriptures. Okay, verse 25. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good finds favor, or acceptance, the other translation, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Oh, evil comes to him who searches for it. So if you search for evil, you're going to find it, and it's going to fall on your own head.
Well, and reread the whole thing, because you said seeks good finds favor. It seeks good seeks favor.
Ah, right, right, right. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Okay, yeah, go looking for trouble, and yeah, that's what you'll come home with. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind.
And that's where that's where the book came from.
From about the Scopes mm-hmm. monkey trial, yep. Yeah. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. So Proverbs 11:29, just kind of file that way for inherit the wind. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise.
Hmm.
If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner?
Proverbs 12. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid.
Yes, the Bible said that.
A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of evil, devices he condemns. He condemns devices. So plotting and...
Well, he condemns the man who comes up with evil devices, evil plots and plans.
But a man of evil devices he condemns. Okay.
Right, right.
No one is established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will never be moved. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband.
Amen.
I'm going to sit right there.
And write yourself a letter?
Yes. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness to his bones, in his bones. That you don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. And I would say, here's the sad thing. It doesn't matter if your husband deserves that crown. Mine does. But not all do. But you should strive to be that. Because wouldn't you rather be that than rottenness in his bones? Of course, there are probably some wives out there going,
I don't know. That sounds pretty good.
The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright delivers them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man is condemned according to his good sense.
Commended.
Commended. That's a big difference.
Yes. Thought I needed to jump in on that one.
He's got rottenness in his bones. What can I say? A man is commended according to his good sense, but one of twisted mind is despised. Twisted mind is that, I've known some people like that. Mm-hmm. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. If you're out gambling... You're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever is wicked covets the spoil of evildoers, but the root of the righteous bears fruit. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous escapes from trouble. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. Whether that work is good or foolish,
yeah,
it's going to come back on
you. That's right.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Again, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Someone pokes you with a stick.
Yeah.
Don't growl. Don't bite.
Can't control what other people
just
do.
Just don't look.
Yeah. You can only control how you respond.
Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Somewhere James is applauding.
Mm-hmm.
Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and those who act faithfully are his delight. Those who think that you have to commit certain, you know, grade level sins
mm-hmm.
to really have the Lord go,
No,
lying is right up there. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly.
Mm.
The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Now, why would you not cook the meat you've worked so hard to go kill? Whoever's slothful, too lazy to roast the meat.
Yeah, we've caught it, but I'll get to it tomorrow.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
But the diligent man will get precious wealth. And again, that precious wealth, that really is eternal in nature. In the path of righteousness is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. And with that in mind, with the idea that righteousness, the path of righteousness is life, that is our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember what it is he did for us.
Yeah, because that is the only salvation, and that ultimately will lead to the only real rewards, the true wealth that we're called to store up for ourselves.
Exactly. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are turning away from your old life. Doesn't mean you're suddenly going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are out there and you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior yet, you may be waiting because you're thinking, I'm not good enough yet. You will never be good enough.
That's the whole point of the gospel. There is nothing that we can do to earn our way into heaven. Paul writes in chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians
yes.
that it is not by works we are saved so that no one can boast, but it is by grace through faith. And this is a gift of God.
Exactly. And Romans tells us there is none righteous. No, not one.
Right.
Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. The best person on earth. You could keep every law perfectly. Filthy rags. Jesus Christ is the only one, the only God made man,
mm-hmm.
the only one who managed to live a totally sinless life
right.
and pleased God. And his sacrifice is what we look to. So don't put it off because you think you have to get better. The Holy Spirit will help to change you from within. And it's a process. And never, if we lived a million years on this earth in these fallen bodies, we would never get to perfection by the end of the millionth year.
Right. And there's only one who, and that's a point. None of us will ever live the law perfectly. Jesus is the only one who ever did, and he had to do that in order to fulfill it and then be offered up as the perfect sacrifice for us. And there are some who actually will claim that because Jesus was a man, he couldn't possibly have lived out the law perfectly. And that is, I'm sorry, but if you start down that path, that you cross the line into heresy, mm-hmm. because that is the whole point of Jesus' sacrifice, mm-hmm. was that he lived the law perfectly to fulfill a requirement to become our perfect sacrifice, mm-hmm. rather than the temporary sacrifices of animals over and over and over again. That's the whole point of the book of Hebrews, explaining mm-hmm. why that was necessary and what awaits us at the end of this journey because of his sacrifice, and why his sacrifice and the transfer of the priesthood, because Jesus is our high priest now, but he comes from the tribe of Judah, from which the priesthood was never held the priesthood.
Exactly.
The priesthood was transferred from the tribe of Levi to the tribe of Judah, and that necessitated a change in the law as well.
He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Right. So,
in fact, he probably was Melchizedek.
That's really good. It's a very probable Christophany in the Old Testament. And there are a number of those, more than I thought before we started really grasping the concept of the divine counsel. So,
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah. So, well, this being the first Sunday of the month, we will commemorate the Lord's Supper, because it reminds us of why his sacrifice was necessary and what it accomplished for us. And to that end, we open the book to the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, where he explains to them the reasons for it. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Amen.
And it is a remembrance. I know that there are some denominations, Protestant and Catholic, that view the practice of communion as a point in which the elements are transformed into either the presence of Jesus or the literal body and blood. Just for reference, we do not ascribe to those teachings, but we do recognize the importance of commemorating his sacrifice, because that is what it's all about. And that's why Resurrection Sunday, the day where we celebrate his emergence from the tomb, the empty tomb, should be the central, the most important, the key holiday in the Christian calendar every year. Sadly, it is not. For most American adults, even those who profess to be Christian, what most call Easter Sunday falls like after Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Halloween, probably, maybe even 4th of July. It's just a, you know, Sunday we get together and eat more, and the kids go chase colored eggs and get candy. And but again, that should be the most important day, mm-hmm. because without that, we are still in our sins, and then we're lost.
Amen.
So, well, next week we continue with more Proverbs in the Old Testament study. The New Testament study continues with 1 Corinthians, and boy, do we get into some good stuff next week, starting in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. So join us for that. You'll find all the archives online at gilberthouse.org, and you can subscribe via email or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes or Stitcher or any other system that automatically downloads mm-hmm. these audio files.
And we're so grateful, because many of you must be doing that, because when we moved over to the new hosting company, we very quickly burned through most of our permitted bandwidth.
Yeah.
Almost a terabyte.
Yeah. In less than 2 weeks' time. So, you know, praise God for that. And the other thing that's interesting is that when we looked at the analytics, and you can break it down by where people are viewing and what files they downloaded most and mm-hmm. what web browsers they use to access the websites. The web browser that was showing up most often for our podcast sites was iTunes.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a web browser, but what that means is it was automatically downloading the files. So we thank you for subscribing. And
amen.
We'll keep those online
And by the way, I want to thank you, sweetie, because you took the time over the last few days to move those files to archive.org so that when you listen to it, it'll be served up through iTunes, mm-hmm. But it's just not stored on that hosting company's server anymore. Right. So we're not burning through the bandwidth nearly as quickly now, but mm-hmm. we know that those of you who are out there listening are doing so because you must be getting something out of it. And if you are, we, you know what, we praise the Lord for that, because if you are, it's Him.
Yeah.
And those things we get wrong, we'll take the blame for that. But we pray that there are little nuggets in there that He has somehow put in there despite us.
That's right. Because we keep getting in the way with our human
Yeah, we're trying to get out of the way, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll close with a word of prayer. And Father, just give thanks for Your word, which has been preserved for us through the centuries. Just today, just imagining that the words that we read in English today were composed in Hebrew 3,000 years ago and preserved and translated and cross-checked by scholars and scribes through the millennia to ensure their accuracy. We know, Father, that as close as it is possible for us in English to understand the original Hebrew and the original words, You inspired the authors, Solomon and whoever, to write these words, Father, that this is as close as we can come to understanding the original intent. And Lord, to make up that balance, we just pray You'd grant us wisdom and discernment, that we would grasp Your intent, Your meaning, Your desire for us, while adding nothing to Your words and taking nothing away from Your words. Father, we pray for those who are taking the gospel to the ends of the world, to the ends of the earth, to every tribe and nation. We pray for those who are struggling and suffering emotionally and physically and financially, Father, asking You that You would comfort them, give them strength, and help them to heal. And Lord, grant us all the sense of expectation and surety of knowing that Your promise is guaranteed, that You are coming back. And on that day, things will be made right. Scores will be settled. And the world will be restored to Your original design. We look forward to that day, Lord. We long for that day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear.